The gospel reading this morning comes from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. You can read along on page 818 in your pew Bibles. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die.' But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is korban,' that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on." And so many things like this. Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that can, by going in, defile. But the things that come out are what defile." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles. It is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." In our hearing, our living, our speaking, our living. Well, that was a cheerful little lesson. Let's see what we can do with it. Yeah, but first, I have a question for you. When you pray, do you close your eyes? Yes? No. Should we separate you, call the order of the house? Do you close your eyes? I would guess that whoever taught you about prayer told you to close your eyes and to bow your heads and to fold your hands just so. That's how I was taught. Now, I'm the product of several strands of Christianity, and one of which is where the preacher would wind up the service with a, "Now every head bowed and every eye closed, I know there is someone here who is wondering how they can invite Jesus into your hearts to be your personal Savior." I'll bet you didn't know that about me, did you? I have a divergent background. Every head bowed and every eye closed was important so you could raise your hand without anyone else knowing. Though you know there were people watching. You know the minister, for one thing, was watching, because the prayer would go on and on until... And you know the ushers were watching, because ushers... See, the ushers would be paying attention, not like they are now, and they would come take that person whose hand was raised and bring them up to the altar where you would kneel and be prayed over. So I wanted to ask you this because I'm curious. I ask because I know a UCC minister who's real good at praying, good prayers, really good prayers. They're sensitive and they're astute and they're caring. She's a wonderful presence. She's brilliant. And her name isn't Julie. And though Julie is the most brilliant, she's not the only brilliant clergywoman that I know. My friend Tamara, and Ralph knows her as well, Tamara and I serve on a committee. And we always ask her to pray, especially when there are guests, because she's so good. And she prays with her eyes open. She glances around. She'll catch your gaze. And she'll hold it until she moves away to catch someone else's gaze. I was just wondering how many of you would do that. And why do I even mention this? Well, because it fits the reading, because Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes were in the midst of a running debate of how each thought people should live their lives. Now, these weren't ordinary people talking to Jesus. These were impressive Pharisees and scribes. They were from Jerusalem, from the big city. And they came out from that big city to check this teacher out. This wasn't the first debate, nor would it be the last. We're not sure how much they agreed with Jesus, so certainly there was more agreement than what we are aware of. It's hard to understand everything that's going on in this passage. The initial action that seemed to bring up the debate was the disciples did not wash their hands correctly. Now, that seems pretty trivial, but of course, in this day and age of fear of coronavirus and fear of flu and fear of cold, I don't care what Jesus said, wash your hands. If you can't wash your hands, use this stuff. It's got refreshing oil and leaves the hands feeling soft and kills a mess of germs. But wash your hands, and while you're scrubbing, sing happy birthday to yourself twice. Is that right? Sing it twice? I'm looking at the only doctor in the house. You're not pink. You're like the sing it twice. I noticed that when last week when I was at Will, my grandson's daycare, every one of those kids had snot just oozing out of their noses. And I thought, And as I left with Chris, my son-in-law, I'm looking around for the pump. There were no, not Purell stations. I couldn't, there were no hand wiping stations to be had. No place where you could wipe this stuff off. And maybe they thought, it's useless. And it probably was. Will was sick. Megan was sick before I came. And she called and said, I'm just warning you. I'm sick. You can come. So I came. Jesus was not attuned to the realities of bacteria and viruses. Nor were the Pharisees. They probably didn't even know the song, Happy Birthday. They all meant well, but they were not medical professionals. What I hear in this passage is sort of a schoolyard series of, oh yeah? Your followers don't wash their hands. Oh yeah? Well, your followers don't do this right. Oh yeah? Well, you don't teach these people right. Oh yeah? Well, neither do you. It was a back and forth. And that could get tedious. And who was right? First of all, we need to remember that it was an important debate. The folks from Jerusalem who were trying to tell people how to live their religious lives. It is easy to criticize the Pharisees and the scribes from Jerusalem because we don't always hear their side of the debate. A new teacher shows up. They go out and check him out, and they hear that he's pushing at some of the norms. The Pharisees and scribes were part of a system of oral law and tradition that dated back to the time of Moses. It wasn't the written law, but it was the traditions handed on, taught from teacher to student, from generation to generation. Remember in the Game of Thrones? I think in season 2, where Daenerys had 2 or 3 female servants, slaves. And Daenerys was young and was constantly asking questions. And when Daenerys would ask a question, one of them would say, well, it is known that blah, 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 blah. And another one would say, oh, it is known. With that absolute sense of certainty, it is known that you always close your eyes when you pray. It is known that you always wash your hands before you eat, because it's the proper way to recognize the love and care God has for us. It is known. We are blessed, and so we wash our hands. And Jesus' disciples on that day ate without washing their hands. Oh, yeah? Jesus said, well, what about the things you teach the people? Saying things against what the prophets said. I don't understand this Korban tradition. It sounds like an investment product available only to the rich, a way of sheltering income. Why would somebody give money to God and not take care of their parents is beyond me. But apparently it was a topic. The discussion of what defiles a person, that it comes from outside, that it comes from inside and not from outside, is a finely drawn point. According to Jesus, not washing one's hands meant that a person was defiled, Defilement comes from within. It's those behaviors, those actions, those thoughts that lead us astray. Now, there are a couple themes in Mark that are a part of this mixture. Number one, the disciples did not understand Jesus. We read that all the time in the Gospel of Mark. We read it here. Number two, the Pharisees and the scribes did not see things the way Jesus did, and often they did not come off very well. Three, there's an underlying theme that goes on in Mark that the Pharisees and the scribes, the other Jews, saw the disciples as being dirty. This feeds right into it. You allow them to eat with defiled hands. They accuse Jesus of being possessed of the devil. They accuse the disciples of all manner of things. They're dirty, so they're subhuman, so you don't have to listen to them. And I guess maybe fourth, it seems like maybe Jesus overreacted to the Pharisees a little bit. We went pretty quickly from hand washing to talking about what goes into the sewer. And if you're trying to win your argument based on poop, maybe you're stretching a little hard. These were important and serious discussions for Jesus and the early church. And it came down to this: should you follow the written law? Should you follow what the prophets said? Should you follow what the religious leaders teach? And it isn't a matter of, well, you do this, or you do this, or you do this. It's a combination of weaving all of these things together to help people understand that they are a part of God's blessed community. We have similar discussions today. Pray with your eyes open or with your eyes closed. Well, the important thing is, first of all, to pray. And then to pray in such a way that you not give offense to people so that they lose track of what you are praying for. And to keep an open mind so that when someone comes along who does something a little differently from what you or we are used to, we can come to appreciate their prayers as well. There's all sorts of candy back there, but Julie's in it all. 2 weeks ago during communion, I changed up what the bread and juice servers said as people came forward and as we're giving out the elements. You probably don't notice this, but in communion, we try to move people through at a decent pace because we want to get you out of here as close to 12 o'clock as possible. It is known that worship should end at noon. And I knew that, and on that Sunday I was talking about healing, and I knew that I really couldn't add another big piece to the worship service. So I thought, let's just add some extra words. And I asked the people, and I said, too, this is the body of Christ broken for you. By God's grace, may you find healing. This is the cup of Christ given for you. May God give you health. There's a rhythm to communion. People come up, give the bread, and if you're going to give out a piece of bread, you've got to have your eyes down so you can see them, and then you catch their hands. So just Move, move. Come on, come on, come on. So instead of pushing that rhythm that day, we slowed communion down by a couple seconds. A couple seconds. We got out at 11 minutes after, I believe. I always check to see what time we get out, especially for communion. And in that, yeah, it's all right. See, in a couple extra seconds, in that couple extra seconds it took, it slowed everybody down. And I found that I could catch people in the eye, engage, have eye contact. To use the word that I used last week in the sermon, to have an intimate moment with somebody. And I thought that was kind of nice. Slowing the pace down, catching people's eyes, offering just that little short blessing. One of the things that Julie and I really appreciate about this church is your collective willingness to try new things, to indulge our flights of fancy when we get a new idea. It is known that church is all about tradition. And it is known that God is still speaking. And a part of our calling is to be looking for the new and amazing ways that God comes into our lives. So eyes open or shut. Try each way and decide for yourself. But wash your hands. It is known that we wash our hands. Amen.